Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Hello everyone.
And Gauze.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Disney Twisted Wonderland, the animation season one episode of Heartslabule, a series that recently started.
They just sneak in a nonsense world in there. Like, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Episode of Heartslabule.
You did it again! That's not a real world word.
It wasn't until this game was made. Since this is based on a video game, we decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was produced by Umeta Company and Graphinica, the studios behind Muv Love Alternative and Tokyo Mew Mew New. Disney Twisted Wonderland, the animation season one episode of Heartslabule, currently has an Annie List score of 66%. Disney Twisted Wonderland is a mobile adventure rhythm game which released in 2020 in Japan and 2022 in places that aren't England. I tried to download it to check the game out and it literally says, unavailable in your region. Oh, well.
Never to look up the game.
Probably just the Online Safety Act at this.
Yeah, you know those Disney like games and movies and stuff, all those naked people.
Just like flaming everything at the Online Safety Act.
Well, I have to say that I was watching this and I was just waiting until it turns into a BL anime, boys love. And yeah, then I was waiting until it asks me to scan my face so that I can keep watching.
I mean, it gives off heavy BL overtones. This is only technically based on a video game, as it's an adaptation of the 4-volume Book of Heartslabule manga, which would explain why this show has been renewed for 2 more seasons, most likely covering the Book of Savannah Claw and Book of Octavanel mangas.
Yeah, you know, I can see people enjoying that and wanting another season, even though it might seem like a one-off adaptation of the video game.
My short synopsis is, when a non-magical kid is isekai to a magical world, hijinks ensue. Arturo, what do you have?
After the M. Bison Isekai Chariot goes a bit too hard and runs over an entire world, rendering it non-existent, our protagonist lands a job at legally distinct Hogwarts.
Gauze, what do you have?
Yuken Enma and his kendo club are preparing for a big tournament when he gets transported to a school full of men who do magic after he gets hit by a carriage and cascoted. What does any of this have to do with Disney? Okay, so I feel like I should explain that men do kote are three of the hits in kendo, which is like head, torso, wrist.
Oh, is that why he keeps shouting, men? It's not a BL reference.
you thought he was just really into men. It's like some people yell their own name as a battle cry. He just goes, men!
We open on someone speaking to a magic mirror before an empty horse-drawn hearse leaves Nightraven College without a driver. We cut to modern-day Tokyo, Hibari High School's kendo club. The club's captain, Yuken Enma, wins the bout, and two other members glaze him for a bit. Another club member, Koito, gets knocked down, much to nobody's surprise, then spouts off about wanting to be just like Yuken. Later, Yuken waits at a bus stop while evil animals watch, and then a mist descends. In fairness, the moon is green, so I figured it was the dark out from Persona 3.
Yeah, we thought it was gone. We thought it was gone and it was back, and then we thought it was gone again, and now it's back. Watch Persona 3 episode of the podcast, I don't know.
The driverless carriage suddenly runs him over because he decides to walk in the road. And we get the titles. I thought it was a pretty good song.
I'll say, what an absolute idiot to walk on the road just randomly. He waited until the fog appeared to walk on the road. He was just waiting for someone to run him over so he could sue them.
I mean, he could see down either side of the road from the bus stop. He didn't need to stand up.
To be fair, I've never seen anyone speeding in when seen either anime or like Japan footage in that kind of neighborhood. I don't think I ever seen anyone speeding unless they're on a mountain in Japan.
What about M. Bison in his isekai truck?
I mean, he did that in the Americas somewhere. That's where Ryu goes.
My problem isn't just, I do agree with you about the speeding thing, but why was he waiting at the bus stop until the fog rolled in?
Maybe he didn't see the fog.
Anyway, you can...
He couldn't see because of the fog. That's why.
So you decide to cross the street. I'm glad this guy died.
No, like he didn't know that the street was there because there was a fog.
Yukon wakes in a box. I say box, I mean coffin. It's hilarious that he's more concerned about having to walk home if he misses the bus rather than being kidnapped and closed in a box.
Look, I totally get his concern. Walking home seems like a chore.
Dealing with kidnappers, not so much.
Kidnappers in weirdly cultish robes. Come out of the coffin and there's like 50 people standing there and he's like, damn it, I have to walk home.
You'll also learn pretty quickly that he takes everything in stride. So it's like, yeah, my biggest problem is having to walk home. Magic, whatever.
He bashes the lid open and steps out into a room with 10 other coffins and the magic mirror, as well as loads of candles and many, many people in religious robes. Said figures seem more surprised than Yukon is that he's standing there. He is welcomed by a being called Crowley to Night Raven College, the most prestigious arcane academy in Twisted Wonderland. Each student is put in a house represented by the Great Seven, the Disney villains Queen of Hearts, Scar, Ursula, Jafar, the Evil Queen, Hades, and Maleficent, respectively.
Which is very bizarre.
It's a big miss not to add Yzma's house.
Sorry, what?
It's a big miss not to give Yzma a house.
I don't know who that is.
Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Anyway.
It's the best movie.
I didn't see a lot of Disney past a certain year. Never mind. What I was going to say, that is very bizarre that they did all this in honor of those characters when they look so deformed compared to everyone else in the world. Like, did you see the Queen of Hearts? Like,
yeah.
Like, who would go, she's badass, instead of, what the fuck is wrong with your face?
You've been stung by several wasps.
Yeah, you're like an elephant man in this.
Yukon is having none of it and heads for the door, despite Crowley and the other students saying that he can't. They don't stop him, but what does stop him is a Pokemon smashing through the window and saying they'll take the enrollment spot since Yukon doesn't want it.
It makes perfect sense.
The Pokemon's name is Grim, but the other students laugh at them. So Grim sets the humans on fire!
And this is where, like, it turned into a total farce and, like, just pure boobery from everyone involved. Except for Yukon, who's like, yeah, I, like, walk slowly towards the exit, everyone. And everyone else is just like, oh, dude, what's going on? Ah! I don't know what I'm doing.
My butt's on fire.
It really shows why cult robes are just not, just entirely flammable. Yukon, who's the only one who doesn't know how to use magic, is the only one who doesn't go on fire.
You know, this like totally mirrors scenes from like modern comedies and stuff where you see like dude bros at a frat house doing whatever the pledge ritual, whatever, and they have like dark robes and they take it super seriously, but they're stupid idiot dude bros. And that's everyone in this school. Like, everything is on fire and they're just too stupid to know what to do.
What's water? There's a fountain in the building.
You know, that's just waiting for that typical scene in like cartoons where they wash on the fountain and they're like, oh no, not the eternal spring of a thousand souls.
Well, this fire stuff continues for some time with like 40 characters doing nothing while our main cast gather towards the back to confront Grimm. Riddle Roseheart's magic sea collar around Grimm's neck, sealing his magic, and Crowley congratulates him. I'm not sure, but I think there's a time skip as Yukin is just standing there for a bit while the flames go out and then he falls to the floor, and we soon see that the place is basically empty.
There's a time skip, they just all sat around and until everything that was flammable just burned to ash.
Basically.
That's how you deal with a fire.
Riddle approaches Yukin and threatens him for insulting him. And then the episode ends. It's not as good as the opening song, but it's still okay.
I wanted to mention that I don't know if you mentioned, but Yukin tackles Riddle to the ground, like trying to save him. And I totally thought that was a setup for him to fall in love with him and be like a tsundere for the rest of the show.
I mean, that's going to be like Riddle's characterization. He hates Yukin because he's in love with him. and he's a closet homophobe.
I mean, I don't know if you're joking or not, if that's actually how it's going to be.
That's what I assume anyway, from the setup.
I mean, I didn't see like those like little indicators that would confirm it for me. So for now, I want to applaud them for not going that route, because that's what I expected. That would be obvious to me.
Well, there's after the tackle, you see Riddle like on the floor, and you see Yukin's one hand near his head, and It looks like Cabadon, that thing where someone will, a love interest will put their, like, slam their hand against the wall next to the person, and there'll be a moment between them.
Yeah, but there wasn't a moment. Like, he didn't blush or anything. He just was shocked and then was mad right after.
There's a post-credit scene which stars Crowley and characters we haven't been introduced to. They're discussing a rehearsal for the entrance ceremony, and they make some jokes.
It's funny because during the burning, panicking scene, you get like a little scene with each student, like giving you a hint about their character, and then you get this post-credit bit where they do the same thing.
Episode 2 begins with a previously on before continuing where the last episode ended. Two other members of Hartslebule House try to talk Riddle down, and Yukin tries again to explain that he can't use magic. Riddle refuses to believe him, so the magic mirror speaks up and agrees. Crowley says they'll send Yukin back home. I keep saying Crowley. Crowley says they'll send Yukin back home then. But it doesn't work, because his home doesn't exist. Then we get the titles.
Yeah, what the fuck kind of magic do you have? That's so lame, like you can't access the multiverse. Like you say, like everyone's like, yeah, magic, of course, there's magic, everyone has magic. And then, oh, you can't send you home because it doesn't exist. I don't know, no multiverse. But magic is here. Everything is magical.
Who says magic? They even bring up the fact that Jafar had the magic lamp.
Seriously, fucking Jafar could send him home. Call him.
We come back and Crowley asks where Yukin is from, but he says he's never heard of Japan. So Yukin leaves, deciding to find a way home on his own. He exits the church and sees people flying on brooms, which shocks him into stopping.
It's funny because he just spent the entire last episode in a burning building because of a Pokemon. And now he comes out and he's like, oh, flying brooms.
Yeah, magic animal, fine. Flying brooms, what?
Well, I assume there was, he didn't recognize any of the Disney characters, so I assume that there's no cartoons in his version of the real world of Japan. His world is called Japan. It's just Japan. It's Japan over the whole Earth.
Yeah, it's so no North America, so no Disney.
Yeah. So he didn't know about the witches. He was like, what the fuck is that? Why would anyone get on a broom?
Crowley suggests that he contacts a friend, but when Yukin checks his phone, he has no signal. Since he would feel bad about turfing Yukin out with nowhere to go, Crowley offers to let him stay in an unused dormitory building. Crowley takes him to the building, and it's the haunted manor from the opening of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? From the 70s.
Is this really?
I think it looks exactly like it. I didn't double check. And it's literally haunted, as Casper the Friendly Ghost's three evil uncles try to kill Yukin.
No, that's not Disney.
Yukin tries to shake their hands, happy to have housemates. And as Gus said, taking it entirely in stride. Crowley tells Yukin that he has to be a groundkeeper to earn money for food and clothes, but will let him freely use the library. The next day, Yukin sets about cleaning the statues of the Great Seven. Some other students talk over some clips from Disney movies showing the villains off, including the Nazi marching scene from The Lion King. They then introduce themselves, Ace, no, not me, and Deuce Spade. Not sure why Ace only has one name.
No, he has a second one, they say.
Andrew.
Don't dox me on the podcast.
Your name is on Game Grim.
Then Grim appears and tries to attack Yukin, but the human quickly wins over the Pokemon. Grim explains that they believe that they truly belong at the school and won't give up trying to attend, which reminds Yukin of Koito. Ace insults Grim and then walks away, but Grim uses Fireball. Ace uses Whirlwind, cancelling out the attack. They spar, and when the Queen of Hearts statue is set ablaze, Grim legs it. Crowley arrives and sees the statue, so expels Ace, Deuce, and Yukin.
I think Crowley was secretly glad that they burned the statue. It was like, oh, thank God, we got rid of that deformed person statue. Only six to go. We have a cartoon lion over there.
Other than being covered in a bit of soot, what was wrong with it? Dude was going to clean it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what it was made of. Do stone statues turn black after they are burned? Also, how do you burn stone? You need to, have some kind of accelerant.
Yeah, you cover it in gasoline and then you set fire to it.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, would that turn the rock dark? I don't know. Or maybe it's because of their Disney characters, and when the cartoon characters get burned, they turn black.
Deuce begs with Crowley. Cannot say Crowley so many times. Deuce begs with Crowley, who decides to give them a chance to redeem themselves. He sends them to a mine to get a mage stone to fix a chandelier. That night, they head out.
Go to a mine. That's all you're good for, slave labor.
Meanwhile, Crowley tells Riddle what he's demanded, and Riddle takes that personally. At the mine, there's someone with a gravelly voice saying that it's all his. And we get the credits. The post-credits scene has students moving into their dorms. It's supposed to be funny.
I think it's like those post-credit scenes are like some kind of a recreation of what happened beforehand, supposedly. How Deuce and Ace met.
Yeah, maybe. Episode 3 starts with a previously on section and goes straight into the titles. Ace, Deuce, and Yukon spot a house and decide to go inside rather than going up to the mine. Inside there are 7 chairs, some small shoes, and a pickaxe behind Yukon while he's complaining about not finding any tools.
Oh my god, it's the house that where the 3 bears are with the soup is too warm and too cold. Right?
I can only imagine that there's no reason for there to be 7 chairs other than for the 3 bears with large asses.
Yeah, the Berenstein bears. Bernstein?
We're not getting into that again. Grimm appears to light a candle for them, and they are there to get a mage stone for themselves and is willing to help them find theirs too. The group mines for a bit, argue a bunch, and then get interrupted by a large creature with a crystal ball for a head, holding a purple lantern.
What's the crystal ball? I just couldn't make out what the fuck it was.
No idea.
Like the closest thing I could think of was like a ball aquarium gold that you keep a goldfish in. But I don't know.
I thought it was full of oil, but they set him on fire and it doesn't ignite the oil, so it's just some sort of magic evil mist.
It's a fart cloud.
Yeah, you need to know the whole lore of Berenstein bears to figure that shit out. What it was. I bet that character makes an appearance.
I'm pretty sure it's Bernstein.
Ace, Yukon, and Grimm are willing to get expelled, but Deuce runs at the creature. Deuce quickly loses, so Yukon distracts it from killing the other kid, and they all manage to escape. But they had spotted a mage stone, so Yukon suggests working as a team. Yukon draws the creature out of the mine, and Ace uses gale force winds, disabling the creature. Grimm jumps in with blazing hot fire. It's super effective. Deuce finishes it off with a giant cauldron. Multiple times.
Lots of all the cauldrons. And that makes me question, where did he see a cauldron that big in his life?
His family's rich.
His family's rich, so they're just buying the biggest cauldrons. Like, out of art gallery, like, oh, this is art. This costs $1 million. This is surely good art. Let's get this cauldron. Sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting.
Except the monster survives the attack and leaps at them until Riddle uses fireball, KOing the creature. However, he didn't do it to help the members of his house. No, he did it to capture them, as they didn't dance when a hedgehog sneezed. Literally. That's what he says.
And he's also like, oh, this creature is so weak, but fucking, like, it was already knocked out. It already had very little HP, surely. Fucking asshole.
Ace and Deuce get dragged off, so Yukon and Grimm retrieve the mage stone. Then Grimm eats the remains of the creature, glass head and all.
He's the glass and later shiz blood.
At the school, Crowley congratulates Yukon and tells him that he must be gifted to get mages to work together because they are all assholes.
Yeah, you must be skilled in them gacha magic. Maybe you should try to pull for some mages and make them work together. I'm gonna get you in this school. Have a camera. Take pictures.
Yeah, further he's enrolling Yukon and Grimm as a duo. Grimm is given a mage stone, and Yukon a camera which literally steals souls.
He's like, what you didn't know that Crowley has Native American roots? That's what, so that's just what he thinks. It's a normal camera.
Meanwhile, in Hartsley Buell House, everyone is reciting a poem in front of Riddle, with Ace and Deuce in supplication. And the credits. The post-credit scene has members of Ursula's house serving at a club. I'm sure it's hilarious. So, was it a good adaptation?
There's no music, no.
There's music in the game?
There's no turn-based battles either.
No, there is, because, like, I take a turn. Every combat is turn-based. Wind attack. Yeah, it is, kind of.
No, when Grim and Ace are fighting, they're both hurling spells at each other at exactly the same time.
Yeah, but because they're opposing, so they move during the same turn. But if they had other people on their side, they would take turns, right?
Anyway, the story does follow the start of the game and slash manga. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's a terrible adaptation. We've had worse. So is it a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I think for me it's a bit of a Nani. I guess I liked it. I think the animation's okay. But, like, I don't know. It felt like after the three episodes, it was a bit of a nothing burger. And obviously, like, the constant, like, the references to J.K. Rowling's and Hogwarts. I know the game is, like, before she was a bit of a piece of crap, but it's not for me. So, like, that's it.
I didn't notice references to J.K. Rowling.
I mean, other than magic and houses for students, I honestly didn't. But I don't know an awful lot about the franchise, so that must be why, if there are more than those two references, I didn't catch them. But Goz, what do you think?
So I was like, if I was watching it, and I was like, I don't like it, but. I was saying to myself, I hate it, I don't like it, but I was smiling the whole time, so I feel like I should give it at least a Nani. Because it's like, I think what made me say I don't like it is because I felt like I'm being tricked, like, where's the boys love stuff? And instead of that, there's just never-ending boobery. There's like no stakes at all. It's just people fucking up and then having to clean up after their mistakes. It's, what are they calling it? Comedy of mistakes? Something like that.
Personally, I rate it as a yata. I quite enjoyed it. And when I'd finished writing my notes, I wanted to check out the next episode, but I had other stuff to do, so I did not. At the time of recording, there are 4 episodes available on Disney Plus. Not sure if it's airing anywhere else, but yeah.
So is it airing just now? Did it just start airing?
Yeah, like 5 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Oh. Actually, something that I didn't mention is that, the animation is really good. The animation, and actually I watched it with English dub, and there's a lot of great talent, a lot of variation in accents, and just each character sounds different, stuff like that. A lot of talented people voice the characters.
Yeah, the cast list is quite extensive. So surprisingly extensive, because I'm sure I heard the same a couple of the characters sounding quite similar at one point during the fire.
Well, when we are screaming, we all sound the same.
My butt's on fire. So does it deserve its Annie List score of 66%?
I give it a Nani, but I feel like the score should be higher. Like, it's... Again, my Nani is because of a very specific thing, but I feel like it's quality, and I can totally see watching this, keep watching this if it was just airing on TV at a certain time. I would definitely keep it on and pay attention, what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree.
Don't worry, I'll keep watching it, and I'll let you know when the boy love kicks in properly, so you can get back to watching it.
I hope it won't. I hope it will be like there'll be continuously like scenes where, knowing media tropes and anime tropes, you think that, oh, that it's gonna progress and they're gonna fall in love or they're gonna have a tender moment, but they're just gonna keep undercutting it with something else. Because part of what makes things funny is that they do something that you didn't expect.
According to Copilot search on Bing, Twisted Wonderland has yaoi elements. So, Arturo, you were saying?
I feel like a 66 is kind of where I stand with it, which is I personally like it more than a 5, which is an okay thing. So, I can see that if this were within my area and I was going to, watch something, I don't see why I wouldn't just finish watching an episode of it. But I wouldn't actively seek it out at my current, standing of anime watching and all the other things I wanted to watch.
Okay, I think the score is a bit too low. It could be higher. I'd certainly rate it a bit higher, but yeah, we'll see how the show sticks the landing. And as I said, it's already been renewed for 2 more seasons, so they have some confidence in it. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.